This is AM 580 WILL Urbana. Just again to remind you, just as Carrie said, this morning we're preempting our regular programming so that we can bring you live coverage of a meeting by the University of Illinois Board of Trustees discussing options for dealing with the university symbol chief Illini Weck. Trustee Roger Plummer is scheduled to deliver his report to the board. This morning they began their meeting by offering an opportunity for public comment. The meeting is in progress now and we will join it.
Institution. For as difficult as that may seem, that is to be applauded, as it is what I believe leadership and being a trustee are all about. You've given us a wonderful new chancellor in Nancy Cantor, a true dynamo with enlightened broad visions and plans for this campus. However, on some key issues, she is working...
The speaker at the moment is University of Illinois Professor Stephen Kaufman.
Organizations and committees on campus concerned with racial opportunities and diversity have clearly pointed out that little progress can be made in this arena until the Illini Weck issue is resolved. You're called upon today to action that will give the chancellor and the campus a platform upon which to build and realize the aspirations she has for us. And that action can be nothing short of ending the Illini Weck tradition. There are no half measures that will mollify or cure. A few scholarships, a new dean, attempts at authenticity will not resolve this issue. It is time to say, go Illini. Go to your resting place with honor and dignity. It is time to close this chapter in Illinois history with celebration of the past and commitment to a future. And it is all of our responsibility to take this opportunity and use it to help make this great institution even greater. Trustee Epley was cited in the News Gazette last week as saying he would like to hear from administration and campus officials. Well, if the board has not heard from them to date, here they are. I hope you will now invite their candid input. You've already heard from the academic leadership of the campus, the overwhelming majority. I believe it's 90% of the Swanland chairs and members of the Center Advanced Study have joined with more than 800 faculty in recommending retiring Illini Weck. And Stanley Eikenberry, who needs no introduction here, recently agreed that Illini Weck no longer serves the university as a unifier of enthusiasm and support for our sports teams, and therefore, we should move on. Like many of you, I recently received a letter from Ron Gunter, Director of Athletics, announcing the Fighting Illinois Visa card. With no reference to Native Americans and no Indian logo, the Fighting Illinois is an acceptable compromise for a new symbol for our sports teams. In saying this, I am speaking not only for myself, but also for the national leadership of the American Indian Movement, the National Coalition Against Racism in Sports and Media, and the American Indian Arbitration Institute. The Fighting Illinois, with no reference to Native Americans and no Indian logo, is a compromise acceptable to all. And I congratulate Mr. Gunter for his initiative on this. True, you may prefer to wait for a solution to be imposed from outside by the North Central Association, or by the NCAA. Or you may exercise your role as trustees and provide the leadership that will end this conflict and thereby thrust the university back into the spotlight as an exemplary national educational institution where all are welcome. Your decisions often change the breadth and the face of the university with new programs and new buildings. But today, you have the opportunity to change the character of the university and restore the institutional integrity and national respect that have eroded over the past decade. And you have the opportunity to foster the realization of Chancellor Cantor's vision for our future. My grandpa used to say, some things appear hard to do and other things really are hard to do, but in either case, you just have to do them or you'll stay stuck in your tracks. Well, we've been stuck too long on this issue. Please, please move us ahead. Thank you.
Sir, would you, could the lectern be put back up? Thank you very kindly. Trustee Plummer.
Do
like to make a comment before Trustee Plummer makes his report. Last May, I asked Trustee Plummer to explore potential options related to the chief. Today, I asked Trustee Plummer to present his report. However, before he begins, I want to make a few points. One, when Mr. Plummer finishes his report, board members only will have an opportunity to ask him questions for clarification. There will not be an extensive discussion of
the speaker now is Gerald Shea. He's head of the Board of Trustees of the University of Illinois.
There will not be a vote taken by the board on this matter today. And three, you should know the board will meet in the next few months to consider Mr. Plummer's report further. Mr. Plummer.
Thank you, Chairman Shea. And good morning to my colleagues and good morning to all present. I'm really pleased to present my colleagues a report on Chief Illini Way. Thank you, Bill. Chief Illini Way is part of a 75-year-old tradition and has remained as a special and enduring symbol of the Urbana campus at the University of Illinois, as the society at large and many other things have changed. I'm here today not to extol the virtues of the chief, which his supporters know very well and embrace, nor to expound on why the chief is offensive to so many. Indeed, that would entail covering ground that has already been adequately covered. The 12-month period of the dialogue sessions conducted by the Honorable Judge Louis B. Garippo was captured in a report titled The Chief Illini Wick Dialogue, Intent and Tradition versus Reaction in History, a report to the Board of Trustees at the University of Illinois. Herein, I will call it the dialogue report when I refer to it. And that report contains the historical record of the chief and all of the opinions about the tradition that anyone could possibly want to explore. I have no plan to recite them here, for they are, as the saying goes, a matter of record. This report is presented today, assuming that the dialogue report has been read by my colleagues. It should have been clear to those who attended those hearings that the emotions surrounding the issue of the chief run very high, and each person who spoke not only was convinced of the rightness of their position, but in some cases dismissive of opposing views. As a result, while there was, in general, increased understanding of the many arguments advanced for keeping or retiring the chief, the contour of a potential resolution was no clearer than when the dialogue process began. At the March 7, 2001 meeting of the board, many trustees used words or phrases suggesting their desire for a compromise, though most did so in the context of wanting to keep the chief. This, by the way, was the same approach taken in the dialogue discussion of the compromise, and for reference, you can see section 10 of the dialogue report. As one trustee said, there is a need to, and I quote now, design a route which all interested parties will be willing to share, close quote, while others used expressions about seeking compromise or common ground. Hence, at the May 23, 2001 meeting of the board, it was decided that a compromise be sought if indeed the potential for one existed. Chairman Shea recommended that one trustee be designated to determine if that compromise existed, and you're looking at him. When the news of my appointment reached a friend of mine, he wrote me to suggest that I was either stupid or courageous. He wasn't sure which, and nor am I. Let me begin with some caveats. At the moment I was appointed, the criticism of my selection began and has continued. It was pointed out that I supported the chief. That's true. Indeed, at the March 7, 2001 meeting, I stated, we must find a way to preserve the 75-year-old tradition while addressing at the same time the issues of racial sensitivity that have arisen. As trustees, I said at that time, our charge should not be to presume to retire the chief, but to understand the perspective of all who have a stake in the tradition, our students, alumni, faculty, Illinois citizens, and others, and also consider the reasoning of those institutions that have faced these issues previously." Close quote. I was also criticized by a faculty member for saying that the chief was not meant to be offensive to Native Americans, because I should certainly know better. The inference I drew was that because I am black, I should know better. Well, again, I said it, and I stand by it. One's intent may not be the determining factor in settling an issue, but it is important. Further, some claim that I was not totally objective. Again, I plead guilty, but on this point, we are all guilty, because no one who loves or opposes the tradition can be totally objective. It comes with the territory, and I believed then, as I do now, that I could be as fair as anyone in looking at this issue. So though saddled with those shortcomings, I nevertheless make this presentation to my colleagues. The items to be covered include what the search for a compromise yielded, the alternatives I believe are available to the board, a review of some of the important elements that must be dealt with, and a brief discussion of the experience of other universities. As my colleagues know well, I've endeavored to keep them up to speed individually during this process, because ultimately the accountability for resolving this matter is a shared one. This decision is not mine alone to make. No specific process was mandated to implement the effort to seek a compromise, so a very simple one was designed. What had been clear, owing to the dialogue process, is that opinions of pro- and anti-chief groups and individuals were well known. By the way, the terms pro-chief and anti-chief are used throughout this report as shorthand for those who favor the chief's retention or desire his retirement. I decided not to rehash those opinions, but to provide instead an opportunity for those with thoughtful points of view to be heard and to express their opinion on how a compromise resolution might be fashioned. The process that was used involved in speaking to pro-chief and anti-chief groups and individuals, including students, faculty, alumni, interested Illinois citizens, university administration, Native Americans, and of course, my colleagues on the Board of Trustees. It was through this process that I hoped some new insight would emerge. Each person, if they desired, was given anonymity for the comments they chose to make. In each instance, the group or individuals being interviewed was given an opportunity to establish what would be an acceptable resolution, and more importantly, what would be the rationale for that resolution. During the interviews, care was exercised to listen and not interject my personal opinions. At any rate, they were not even fully formed. While every effort was made to keep the focus on the matter of finding an acceptable compromise, almost everyone interviewed could not resist stating why the position they espoused to retire or retain the chief was absolutely the right thing to do. This was an unavoidable aspect of the overall process, and I guess hardly surprising. After 9 months of reviewing options presented for a compromise resolution, including many unsolicited recommendations, it is abundantly clear that there is no compromise available. Compromise, for the purpose of this effort, is defined as a resolution that is broadly supportable by a sizable majority of those expressing a view on the chief, with adequate support from representative numbers of each of the various camps. And as I evaluated the outcome of the interviews against this definition, it became clear why compromise is beyond reach. The position staked out on all sides of the chief issue, by the way, there are more than two sides, make the development of a solution acceptable to dedicated and determined pro- and anti-chief individuals or groups virtually impossible. In fact, those on the far ends of the chief issue, if that expression may be used, sought to stake out even stronger positions in our conversations. For example, some chief supporters suggested having the chief appear more frequently, become more prominent, become more involved in campus life. While some wanting the chief's retirement desired the retirement not to leave a trace of the chief Illini Wake tradition, including the elimination of the use of the names Illini and Fighting Illini. The polar opposites could never be reconciled, and the dialogue sessions, where the issue of compromise was specifically addressed, as well as this interview process, have made that fact crystal clear. Therefore, the process became focused on individual and groups in the middle, as it were, whose viewpoints were much less hardened and less predictable. The folks in the middle were inclined to seek a resolution that did not represent the current status quo of the chief or complete elimination of the chief. And though there were many creative thoughts expressed during this process, there was no epiphany or aha experience. There was no special revelation that months of dialogue had not already unearthed. There were, however, some important observations that arose which account in part for what will be presented later. While there is still very strong, vocal, and unyielding support for the chief among alumni and many friends of the University of Illinois, a few observations are noteworthy from the interviews. There is a growing concern in some quarters about the increasing marginalization of the chief and whether, as a result, the chief tradition is dying a slow, inevitable death not befitting such an honorable tradition. Some are troubled by the damage being done to the prestige and luster of the university, as well as the turmoil in the university family, stating they love the university more than they love any one symbol, including the chief. Also, some acknowledge experiencing increased difficulty in reconciling their support for the chief and their growing desire to respond to what they feel are the legitimate claims of members of the Native American community about how they are negatively affected by the chief. Further, some worry about the fate of the chief and that it will ultimately fall in the hands of governmental or quasi-governmental agencies like the NCAA and meet an ignoble end that is out of the university's control. And finally, others are concerned that dealing with Chief Illini Wick is an undesirable distraction for the board and university administration and leaves insufficient time to focus on and deal with more important matters. Now, these views tend to be not to be expressed publicly because of concern by those who express them of being viewed as bowing to pressure or political correctness. On the other hand, while anti-chief sentiment was also found to be just as strong as voiced in the dialogue sessions, it should be noted the following. There were expressions by some that their desire for retirement of the chief was not the same as denouncing its history and labeling it as a racist mascot, as many have done. Some do distinguish among the chief, the dance, the graphic image, and the name Illini, and do not view them all in the same way. Further, some anti-chief persons have a level of empathy, if I could call it that, for those with pro-chief positions, and in some cases expressed a desire, now this is an expression I heard, to take the heat by coming out for an honorable retirement, though this position does not appear to be supported by the majority in the anti-chief camp. And finally, some do admit to ambivalence and express concern about the appropriateness of the tactics that are employed to bring about the end of the chief. Some persons expressing these sentiments were likewise cautious about saying them in public. Now, as different as these two sets of observations are from the recurrent themes that emerged in the public dialogue sessions, they do not form the basis for a compromise. Though they are different from the views of the majority of those in the anti and pro-chief camps, they are not at all close to one another in their intent. Once it became clear that no compromise was likely, the chairman of the board asked that alternatives be developed based on what was heard during the process of attempting to find the compromise. And let me say to my colleagues, I have worked hard to develop alternatives without staking out my personal position or making a recommendation. I have been mindful at every step of this process that I am not deciding the university's course, but enlightening my colleagues on the board about plausible options. As an aside, on more than one occasion, interviewees have expressed the opinion that the university can achieve much more than resolving the issue of the chief tradition. Some feel that if the Board of Trustees acts in a way that unifies the University of Illinois family during this process, it can establish a new beginning. That is, the university can use the occasion to make a statement about its overarching values, the importance of traditions, the role of the board in such matters, and its commitment to true dialogue among its many constituencies, and so forth. Time will tell. A number of principles were employed in deciding alternatives for the trustees to consider. These principles are a compilation of what was heard from many persons interviewed in this process, and what I have come to believe are critical matters to be addressed as the board decides the course of action it should take. These principles are appropriate whether the chief is retained or retired. An alternative must, to the extent possible, be in the best interest of the university and not any particular constituency or interest group. Be consistent with the values espoused and practiced by the university. Encompass the views expressed by a large majority of the members of the University of Illinois Board of Trustees, and if a unanimous outcome is not achieved, be acceptable to the remaining members. Bring finality to the subject with no ambiguity on where the board stands or what is required of university administration. Have a compelling rationale found acceptable by a large majority of the university's constituencies. Not demean nor devalue the 75-year-old tradition of the chief. Recognize if the chief is to be retired that there must be a transitional period and perhaps a celebration. Contain elements to begin the healing process among the constituencies that love and support the university. And finally, produce no winners at the expense of those individuals or groups whose opinions do not prevail in whole or in part. Now, it may seem to be stating the obvious, but after conducting this process, I have concluded that the Board of Trustees has but two alternatives. It will not come as a surprise. Retain the chief or retire him. While that statement is simple, getting to either of these two states is not simple. I have described it as getting to one state or the other because an effort to retain the chief must deal with the fact that the current state of the chief is an unstable one, and the turmoil created by the chief issue will not abate without significant change if indeed the chief is to be retained. The two alternatives are presented with a recognition that there are several elements that comprise the tradition of the chief. Key among them, of course, is Chief Illini Wick himself, the chief's dance, the chief graphic image, fighting Illini, and Illini. All of these elements are so closely identified with the chief that it is impossible to address the matter of the chief without a specific statement about them. The two alternatives presented for the board's consideration are, and you should not assume this is an ordinal list the way I will read them, is retain the chief, arrest and reverse the slow marginalization that has occurred over the last several years, strengthen the support for the chief by making changes that make him less offensive and build other programmatic elements around him to reinvigorate the tradition. Retain the dance, fighting Illini, Illini, the graphic image, and 3-in-1, and acknowledge in some meaningful way the importance of Native Americans to the state of Illinois. Or retire the chief, including the dance, by a date certain with a transition plan, discontinue the use of the chief graphic, retain Fighting Illini and Illini, and should the campus choose, keep the 3-1 as part of its halftime celebration. The retirement should be an honorable one that does not demean, devalue, nor apologize for the 75-year-old tradition, specifically the history and importance of the chief to the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign should be memorialized in perpetuity, and there should be separate recognition of the important place of Native Americans in the history of the state of Illinois. Now, these are presented as alternatives, but clearly there are variations on them that one might want to suggest. And at the request of the board chair, I make no recommendations, so that rather than have each trustee spend time arguing for or against a recommendation that I might advance, each should instead spend their time arguing for and providing supporting rationale for the alternative with which they most agree. Also, no trustee is precluded from proposing a variant on these alternatives or an alternative that is not here. In each of these scenarios, the university president and chancellor would be expected to develop a plan to implement this statement of policy and include whatever parties that it is felt would be of most help in doing so, but should be sure to involve the Alumni Association and Foundation leadership in that planning. The plan would be presented to the board upon its completion. Until now, I have presented information absent much in the way of personal opinion, but I would like to address an element that gets discussed at times, and that is the notion that Illini and Fighting Illini are necessarily tied to the fate of the chief. I don't agree. I acknowledge that the people of Illinois or Illini Way Confederation have sometimes been referred to as Illini, especially since 1900. But I want to focus on the use of the term Illini at the University of Illinois. Excuse me a moment. Thank you. The term Illini appears first to have been applied to the student newspaper in 1874, then to students and alumni of the university, and then to its athletic teams. The origin of Illini was a variant of Illinois, as you might expect. Those who used it were aware that Illinois as the name of an Indian people, and they drew on that association when they referred to Illinois or to Illini, but they clearly meant to echo the name of the state. The student paper, a monthly, changed its name from The Student to The Illini when it also changed its format in January 1874. An editorial in that first issue declared, and now I quote, "We're all aglow over our new name. Had you noticed it? Did you ever see it before? Do you know what it means and where it comes from? Sound it trippingly on the tongue." Easy for them to say that. "Accent the second syllable and pronounce it with us. Illini. Good. Try again until it fits the tongue as well as Illinois." Simply a Frenchman's modification of the same word. Here ambition steals away our modesty, and with a thrill of excitement, we hopefully query, shall our name be known in the future as far and wide as that of the broad fair state we honor? And shall it be cherished and loved like that? Shall generation after generation pass and find unfailing stores of richness and worth? Illinois, Queen of the Union, we place upon thy fair brow the diadem of the states, Illini. Ah, what will others say? We wait and wonder and await to work." Close quote. On December 9, 1882, 8 years later, the Illini, then a semi-monthly, said that, and again I quote, "We have frequently been asked the question, whence did your paper take its name, and what is the pronunciation of the word? And answered the question this way, the Oregon of the State University may with propriety bear a name similar to that of its patron and supporter. Illini is but another form of the Indian word Illinois and has the same meaning, that is, real men. Perhaps it is a French abbreviation of the term. The originators of this paper might have searched the world over and would have found no better name than that of our great state. Close quote. Slowly, after that, the name spread to students and alumni, and only then to athletic teams. In all cases, it was meant to evoke the name of the state as well as the state's Native American origins. It is clear that the use of the term Illini by the University of Illinois predates Chief Illiniwic by 50 years. And while the origins are common, the university would seem to be well served to argue that Illini is part of the Urbana campus continuing heritage irrespective of the future of the chief. Now, the adjective fighting is an entirely different kind of issue. We seem to apply it to athletic teams in much the same way as it is used by political candidates who are promising to fight for us in Springfield and in Washington, D.C. The names Fighting Irish and Fighting Scots and Knights and Saints and Gamecocks and Owls and Squirrels, among others, are meant to suggest college teams that strive valiantly for victory and not ones that seek literal combat. My colleagues will have to judge for themselves, but it seems to me that it is possible to strongly support Fighting Illini while deliberating separately on the issue of Chief Illiniwic. At the outset, I mentioned my remarks from March 2001 and the need to consult various sources, including other universities that have had to deal with a similar issue. This aspect of exploration was part of the dialogue process, but bears a repeated mention in this report to bring it into focus. And by the way, it's in Section 6 of the dialogue report if you choose to read it. The University of Illinois is not the only university to have had to grapple with the issue of Native American name, symbol, and/or mascot. Examples of well-known institutions that have eliminated their mascots or symbols are Dartmouth and Stanford, which changed their Indian symbols many years ago, or Miami of Ohio, which abandoned Redskins in the late 90s. What is clear is that no two institutions are the same in the nature of the elements they have been involved and thus how this issue has been dealt with. In some cases, the use of the tribal symbol or mascot has at one time or another enjoyed the imprimatur of the descendant tribe. For example, the Peoria tribe at the University of Illinois, the Miami tribe of Oklahoma at Miami University of Ohio, and the Seminole tribe at Florida State University, and some, but not all, of the Sioux tribes at the University of North Dakota. And the length of the tradition also varies as well. Further, in not all of these instances, has the tribal name or symbol been used in the same way. Some have had the personification of the tribe, Chief Miami, Chief Illiniwic, Chief Osceola, while others have merely have had Native American icons, logos, or symbols. While Miami University of Ohio has resolved its issue by adopting Red Hogs, the University of North Dakota is currently in the midst of a debate about its tradition, much as is the University of Illinois. Florida State is on record as not changing its symbol unless the Seminole Tribe of Florida or the Seminole Nation of Oklahoma decide that they no longer approve of its use. Because the basis for dealing with the use of Native American symbols and culture can vary considerably, there is no ready prescription to be adopted by the University of Illinois from these other university settings. At best, it can seek to determine how these institutions finally resolve the matter. Miami of Ohio parallels the University of Illinois in one important way, in that each university at one time had the imprimatur and indeed the official endorsement of the tribe in question, only to have that endorsement officially revoked. In our case, the Peoria have formally asked us to retire the chief. To the extent that a university valued an initial endorsement, it is hard-pressed to ignore completely the fact that the endorsement has been rescinded as it develops its plans to respond. The experience of other major institutions, those that rank in prestige with the University of Illinois, that have dealt with this issue, shows that ultimately the voice of the Native American community must be heard, listened to, and responded to. Once it has become evident that objections are coming from thoughtful advocates from the Native American community, the university's ultimate response needs to acknowledge them, whichever of these alternatives is chosen. Although, as an article in the March 4th edition of Sports Illustrated, which I imagine everyone's talking about, makes clear, the Native American community is not monolithic and is not of one mind on all of these issues, nor most of us about anything. Finally, several of my colleagues went on record a year ago saying that this issue was one of principle, not to be decided on the basis of financial support gained or lost. Still, in these budget times especially, we take our fiduciary responsibility very seriously, so it is heartening that Stanford, Dartmouth, and Miami of Ohio did not suffer as a result of their decisions, though by itself, this observation makes no argument for either alternative. The University of Illinois and its Board of Trustees are at a crossroads, and leadership is required. The decision to retain or retire the chief is not a trivial one, and indeed may stigmatize those who support either outcome. Nonetheless, the current board has been handed this challenge and cannot duck it. The board has had to deal with this matter before. In October 1990, and by a vote of 7-1, with one trustee not voting and two student trustees casting advisory no votes, the statewide trustees affirmed support for Chief Illini Wick, and that statement of policy and intent has stood ever since. As I mentioned at the outset, there are no easy or right answers. I am certain that each of my fellow trustees has had ample time over the last 24 months to think about all of these issues, and I hope this input helps and puts the finishing touches on their thought process. I've tried to be even-handed in this process, and at times it has been difficult to stay focused when the decibel level of discourse continued to rise. Reaching a resolution is not easy in an environment more characterized by heat than light. And I ask my colleagues not to be intimidated by strong and vocal expressions of opinion from any quarter, and do what's best for this university that we love. There will be a strong reaction no matter what we eventually decide. And finally, Chairman Shea asked that in addition to not making a recommendation, I not share my personal view until there's a general discussion at the board table, whenever that occurs. I'd like to thank you for your attention, and I will answer any questions that my colleagues have.
I don't have a question right here, I just have a comment.
Yes.
I'd like to thank you for your, I would like to thank you for your stellar efforts on our behalf.
Thank you.
Mr. Epley.
Roger, I really want to commend you for the report. This report highlights for me the defects of the whole dialogue process, which wasn't even-handed, which wasn't measured, which wasn't studied, and this is exactly what your report is. And I think of all of the comments we've received from every constituency, this is the one that helps the most.
Well, I tried to make clear at the outset, and I think some of the public comment today made the same statement, there's no compromise, and there's the matter of finding what's best for this university.
Mr. Vickery?
I have no questions for Trustee Plummer, but I would like to commend him on his report. I know he put an enormous amount of work into it. I'm sure that all of us will receive copies of it that,
yes,
that we can read and then form questions that we might ask at a future meeting. But I do want to thank Trustee Plummer for all the work that he's done. Thank you, Roger.
Thank you.
Trustee Gravenhorst?
I would like to echo that. In fact, I think everyone in this room, no matter what you're feeling about the issue, really must credit and praise Trustee Plummer for the work that he has done. He has spent countless hours on this, travels, and his articulation and thought that he showed this morning, I think, has been outstanding. I would like to applaud him again for all that he has done for this issue.
Chairman Shea, could I just say one thing? I love this university, and so for me, it's been more of an honor than anything to deal with this issue.
Are there any other questions, Trustee Plummer? Well done, my colleague. There won't be a vote at this time. The board will meet sometime in the near future to consider Mr. Plummer's report further. This meeting is now adjourned.
You've been listening to live coverage of a meeting by the University of Illinois Board of Trustees. They were meeting on the campus of the university here in Urbana-Champaign this morning. And we wanted to bring to you the comments of Roger Plummer, one of the trustees. And as you heard, he was designated by the board to consider the issue of the chief, the future of the chief, talk with people who had strong feelings one way or another, and come up with some set of recommendations for the board. If you did not have the opportunity to hear all of the comments of Trustee Plummer, you have two opportunities to hear them again. We will archive the broadcast, and that will be available on our website. And in fact, there also is quite a bit of material there relating to the chief. I think that we have a complete sound archive of the last major opportunity that people had to come and make comments, so you can listen to everything that people said. We also have some material that we produced by our news department produced on the subject of the chief. All of that is available on our archive, and you can listen to those things anytime that you like. It's at will.uiuc.edu. Also, we will rebroadcast the comments of Trustee Plummer, those that we've had here this morning, this weekend on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. So if you didn't get the opportunity to hear it all, you would like to hear it again, there will be another opportunity. And then I'm certain we will continue to cover this, as just the board chairman, Mr. Shea, said at the end. The trustees will be considering it. I'm sure they'll have comment on it sometime in the near future, and of course we'll have coverage. Our news director, Tom Rogers, is here. You were following the comments of Trustee Plummer?
As much as possible in the course of writing a newscast as well, but it's a rather interesting report that he gave. This has certainly been a few months, almost a year in the making. I think he was charged with this responsibility back last May. And as a committee of one, we haven't heard much on the progress of piecing together this report. It was obviously something that had to take both sides into consideration. I guess I was kind of surprised that he still, after 10 or 11 months, said that the choice remains pretty much one of two options: either retain or retire the chief. Mm-hmm. But also talking about the variations that could happen, talking about whether or not the name Illini or Fighting Illini has a correlation to the overall chief Illini-WIC issue, and whether or not that would be disposed of as well. But also talking about the balance between keeping tradition and satisfying those who believe that the chief is a racist character.
Yeah. I'm sure there were some people who were hoping that there might be some possibility for compromise, and might have been disappointed, at least, that he said that after, in this course of talking with all kinds of people who had strong feelings about it, he said initially that those people who had very strong feelings either about retaining the chief or for retiring the chief, that obviously there was no possibility for compromise there. But he also said that he talked with groups of people that would be seen to be a little bit more in the middle, who have perhaps reservations about one way or another. But then he said even there, it didn't really seem that there was any possibility for compromise.
Yeah, as for a lot of issues, it was the two groups that you hear most often were the ones that were saying we should keep the chief and everything associated with it, and the others saying we should get rid of the chief entirely and as soon as possible. And he did mention that over the years, it has sort of polarized people, at times it's become personal, the whole debate over Chief Illini-WIC, and there's that to get over as the Board of Trustees makes a decision, and it's a difficult decision they have to make because when it comes down to one of those two options that he mentioned, there will be people who will be left feeling that they've lost, even though he said one of the goals of any decision that's made is to produce no winners.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how that might turn out.
Well, he also did seem to be suggesting that as he talked with people, there were people that voiced concerns, perhaps not publicly, but voiced concerns privately about what the controversy and the amount of attention devoted to it had to do for the image of the University of Illinois, and also that they felt that the Board of Trustees had many things to be considering and that perhaps there were other things that were more important and that this was taking up a lot of time. It sounds also as if he was saying that the hope would be that no matter what the board agrees, what the board decides, that that would be an end to this discussion. It's hard to believe that such a thing would happen.
It may be an official end, but certainly as back in 1990 when they took the last vote, I assume that that was also supposed to be an official end, and that constant drumbeat of concurrent, the comments to drop the chief has certainly not gone since then and have gotten louder over time. So it's not going to be over with one vote, and I don't think anybody really believes that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have a little bit of time here, and I suppose if people who are listening have some opinions, comments that they would like to mention, we can throw open the telephone lines here, and people can certainly share their thoughts with us. The same numbers as always, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line, 800-222-9455.
One other thing that was interesting in advance of this particular report, not necessarily because of it, but other things that have happened over the last year or so, including a couple of votes that were taken. One, the Minnesota Board of Trustees, I think, had mentioned, or at least the Higher Education Commission of Minnesota had voted in support of those who wanted to drop Native American related nicknames. Illinois State, I think, it may have taken a similar stand, although it has not resulted in any boycotts or any other decisions involving relations between the U of I and other schools. It's just more voices being added to the mix, and whether the trustees listen to those voices as well is up for discussion.
We, I think, do have a couple of callers getting lined up here. 333-9455, that's the number, or WILL, and a toll-free 800-222-9455. We do have, I think, someone ready to go here on our line number. Let's go with line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment.
Sure.
What I wanted to make was that it was a sad thing that they brought up the article from Sports Illustrated, because Sports Illustrated, you see, has a vested interest in the fact that they are so the owners of the Atlanta Braves. And they also didn't bring up the fact that the Lakota Journal put out a poll just prior to Sports Illustrated showing that 75% of Native Americans do believe that the mascot issue is detrimental.
Mm-hmm.
But that hasn't been printed or even discussed in this area. It's sort of boycotted because they have their own agenda.
Well, I should mention that I'm sure we'll be discussing some of these issues tomorrow on this program, because in the second hour, the 11 o'clock hour, we'll be talking with Susan Harjo, who is founder and president of the Morning Star Foundation, and we'll be talking about issues facing Native people today. I'm sure we'll get into some different things, but this,
that's wonderful.
She's written on this topic, and I'm sure that we'll be talking about it on tomorrow morning's program.
Oh, so, terrific. I look forward to listening to that. Thank you.
Very good.
And frankly, I hadn't heard of the Lakota Journal poll. Interesting results.
And I hadn't. I'm familiar with this, the fact that
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I know it was sent over email to Jim Turpin and was never discussed. So it would be interesting to see that comes forward.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can find out more about it, too. Let's go on to a caller in Pena. This is line three. Hello? Is the caller there on line three? Yes, go ahead.
Am I on?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
I am a U of I graduate of 1955, and I consider Chief Hrynewich a great part of my heritage and the heritage of the state, which is named for the Illini. And I just cannot see removing him from our state school, which just loves him so much. He is the only symbol I have left after about 50 years of graduating from the U of I. He's the only person I know, and I would like for the people to consider him my heritage too, Chief Illiniwek. And I knew Chief Illiniwek personally in the 50s when I went to school there. He was Mr. Hauser, and he lived down the hall, and I tried on the chief's outfit and wore it, and inside the breast place were all the names of the Chief Illiniwek, and I know our former representative Weber Borchers was one of the first Chief Illiniweks, and I just cannot see cutting the chief off. I can see it being moderated to some extent.
Hmm. Well, what would that mean to you?
Moderation.
The moderation. Yeah.
Well, like if some of the Native Americans could maybe list the things that offend them, and well, like for instance, if the dance offends them, the chief could come out at the games, and maybe he could march out with the band or whatsoever, and he could stand and give everybody a blessing. That kind of, I mean, I think things could be moderated where, you know, it would seem more moderate, shall mm-hmm. we say, and not offensive to these people. But I cannot see why it's offensive to them, but I'm not a Native American, but I just think retiring the chief would just be a tragedy.
Well, I appreciate your comment. Thanks for calling. Let's see if we can get at least one or two other folks next in line. Is someone back here in Urbana? Line one, hello.
Hello, David.
Yes.
Hi, this is Jay Rosenstein, the producer of Inman's Honor. How are you?
Hi, Jay. Good, thanks.
Hi, Jay.
I actually didn't hear the original announcement, but I did hear your coverage of it, so I have a sense of what was said. And I have to admit that I'm glad to hear that Trustee Plummer sort of made it clear that it really is an either-or issue, because I think when it does come down to it, those are really the only options. You either keep the chief and sort of go on knowing that there's going to be ongoing opposition, or you get rid of the chief, and of course in that case knowing that there will be another sort of ongoing opposition. But I also wanted to mention that I think it's important for all the people in the media, and you guys touched on that, but I don't hear it said very often in other media, which is that no matter what, this is not the final answer. Just as Tom said earlier, it was 10 years ago that the board voted, and you know, the idea was that was going to be the end of it. The fact is, the new governor will be able to appoint new members of the Board of Trustees, and the governor after that. So I have a feeling that this thing is going to cycle for a long, long time.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I wanted to ask Tom was, at least in the near future here, has the board said when the next time they're going to say anything on the subject would be?
They haven't mentioned it in specific, and as with this report, it was only a couple of weeks before the meeting that they said that Trustee Plummer was going to present the report in the first place. So their next meeting is scheduled for May in Chicago, and I believe there's one in July back here in Urbana. I don't believe that they would cast any votes. It would be kind of surprising for them to cast a vote in Chicago. Certainly not impossible, but that May would be the absolute first chance that they would have to take an official vote.
Well, I'm going to have to jump in here. Thanks, Jay, for calling, and I appreciate the other folks here who called, and I'm sorry we cannot take them, but I know that we'll be
I may have misspoken. It may have been Springfield too, but the next meeting is not at the U of I Urbana campus.
I'm sure there'll be more coverage of the issue. We'll have more opportunities for comment. And again, go to our website to look at the material we have. You can hear the comments of Trustee Plummer again there. They're archived. We'll broadcast it again Saturday at 3. Our website, WILL.UIUC.EDU.